I don't make too many promises because sometimes promises can be broken. But I will make one promise this morning is that you will probably never forget this Mother's Day. Because it will probably be unlike any traditional, and I know he don't teach traditional Mother's Days here, but just open your hearts up and your minds for what the Spirit of God wants to say. I think we're living in perilous times and we need truth with no NutraSweet or sugar or nothing else on it. We just need raw truth. And one of the deceptions that the enemy has done throughout Christendom is to make us feel that some subjects are only for certain settings. But I certainly believe that the church is the authority that God has placed here to teach his people. And for too long we have evaded certain issues and certain things, and our children are learning things from the world's standards. But we have to allow them to know this is what God has said. This is his blueprint. This is the way that you do it. I'm known not only in Columbus but in various states throughout the country as the preacher that says things that most preachers think about but don't say. But certainly God has given me wisdom in some of the things that I say. But I want you to know that God is going to do some restoring here today. This is a restoration message for the family. Let's go to the throne of grace because I want to get down to business. I want to use all my time wisely. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we praise you right now in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Father, in advance, we give you all glory and praise, for we realize that we can do nothing without you. But through Christ, we can do all things. And Father, I thank you that there is no question in my mind as to what you desire to say this morning. I thank you for the peace that you have given me to release this word this morning. I thank you, Father, that I don't have to worry about facial expressions or attitudes or anything of that nature, Father, because I know that your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which you desire for it to accomplish. And Father, I pray that after everything is said, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can I get some water? Hallelujah. Oh, man. I'm excited. I want to give honor to the Lord, and to the pastor, to all the constituents of the clergy, to all the people of God. I want you to know something. We're blessed to be here this morning. And I don't take anything for granted anymore. All you have to do is look at the news and read the paper, and you'll find out that we're certainly living in that day that Timothy said, in those perilous times. And certainly this is a day that we especially need to be careful about how we live. I also want to honor the pastor's lovely wife. I didn't say that. I want to honor her. She's a special woman to me. And I was telling her earlier that I have three sisters that I've never really been close to, not because of my desire not to be close to them. And I believe that God has given me sisters in the body of Christ. Amen. But I want to talk this morning about something that the Lord dropped in my spirit years ago, and I've been really teaching it for the past 3 years, different places as he has laid it upon my heart. And that is the number one target, the family. The number one target, the family. I want to honor all the mothers that are here today. You've been honored, but I want to honor you as well, because as I said on last night, it's one thing to have a child, it's another thing to be a mother. Amen? I mean, as a young woman, there have been times that I've been tempted just to be the woman that had the baby. Come on, and you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you don't look religious this morning, we can all get blessed. Just act like you do. No, don't act like you do at home, but let's just act in between, you know. Not too religious and not too stiff, you know. Let's just be real with God, because you know what he said? He says, I know you're down sitting, you're uprising. We can impress one another, but we don't impress God. He knows us. Amen. So I want to clear the air, first of all, to let you know that I'm not deep, I'm not great, I'm not a great woman of faith. I'm just a weak and foolish vessel that God has chosen to use in these last days. Amen. I don't take his glory. I'm too afraid to do that. I've seen what God has done in his past with a Nebuchadnezzar spirit, people that forget. And I know we don't have anybody like that here, so I'm not going to waste my time talking about that, because certainly we give God the glory. Let me say something. The church, I constantly hear people talk about their churches. I'm blessed to be around a lot of pastors, and they say, oh, I got a great church, and oh, we're just doing great things for God, and certainly I believe that has a certain truth to it. But one of the things that God has reminded me is that the church is nothing but a collection of homes. That's all it is. And if the homes are divided, the church is divided. I don't care what you say. And I have been exposed to too much over the past 17 years to sit up here and to pretend that things are not taking place that are really taking place, so we can just keep looking spiritual. And I believe that God wants to go in our bedrooms today. He wants to go in our living room and our kitchen and some other places, because so many times we want to talk about Paul and Peter and John, but I believe God wants to deal with us this morning. Amen. I believe that God is tired of us coming to church looking religious, putting on religious airs like we have it together, and we get home and don't know how to treat one another. I believe that the best Mother's Day or Father's Day or any day that we can have is when we learn how to live together in unity. And I want you to know the only way we can do that is by the power of God Almighty. There's no way that we can dwell under the same house, different personalities, different backgrounds, growing up under different lifestyles, and come together and be complete in one flesh except by a supernatural working of the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you before we go into the word to let you know, let me check my time, all right, to let you know that there is no such thing as a perfect marriage, so some of you can go kind of, there is no such thing. Now somebody in here deep this morning might say, well, I got a perfect, you lying. There's no perfect marriage, but I believe that we can have good, solid Christian marriages where Jesus Christ is the center of that marriage. And this is one of the deceptions that the devil is using. Now, this is for the single. You might say, well, I'm not married. I don't need to hear. Yes, you do need to hear this, because the families affect every one of us. And even though I was called here to come to the youth, God said, you're not going to speak to the youth. You're going to speak to the family. Because what good is it going to do for the young people to get it together and the parents are not together? What good is it going to do for the parents to get it together and the young people not together? And I have to be honest, Sister Carol, I am so tired of all of these big women retreats. Don't get me wrong. I'm tired, because we go, we get fed, we get elevated, we get revelation, we get excited. Then we have to go home sometime to men that don't have anything. Then you got the men, they go away, they get blessed, and then you come home to nothing. Come on. But I'm glad that we have the opportunity to have you all here together, so you won't have to say, I wish John was here, or I wish Jane was here. That's why I said, bring your husband, bring your wife today. And don't think about who should have been here, because God has you here. Amen. And if I say something that will step on your toes, just smile and keep looking this way and won't nobody know you. I'm talking about you. Amen? And women have a habit. Women don't do that today, because they won't receive it. It's not so much as the truth that they can't receive, but the way we respond to the truth. You don't know, if I say, you know, some men, they just so selfish, they don't do nothing for you, and you looking at him. You know, don't do that. Just use discretion and smile this way and say, Lord, keep on talking. You know what I'm saying. Or if I say she can't cook, don't say, mm-hmm, that's her, you know, because we have a habit of pointing the finger. We need to realize that every one of us have weaknesses and shortcomings, and it's so easy for me to see my husband's weaknesses. You know, I don't have to study hard to see that, but when it comes to me, I got to look a little harder. So let's just humble our own selves today. The Bible says if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he would exalt us in due season. Let's go to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. This is a three-day teaching, but I've taken a lot of things out, and I've prayed and asked God to give me just a few things that I can touch on that I felt that would be very important for where we live at right now. Let me ask you a question while you're going to Genesis 2. How many of you are tired of the cloud teaching, or do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, I go places and people get excited over deep revelation. I need something that's practical that I can use right where I live at. And I do certainly thank God for the Greek and the Hebrew, but I want it in the Holy Ghost as well. When I got an attitude, don't tell me what it means in the Greek. I need some help. You understand what I'm saying. All right? And for too long as ministers, we've been tempted to impress you with our knowledge and our ability. But the word of God says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, in that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord thy God, which exercise loving kindness and righteousness and judgment. He said, these are the things that I delight in, saith the Lord. So God is letting us know that you don't have anything to be boastful about. So we're going to move that spirit of pride out. All right? Because all of us are still under construction. I like what he said. I mean, I got happy. I wasn't putting on no airs because I know where God has brought me from. I'm not one of those type of ministers that try to make you think I did everything right. I mean, God, I was the chief among the sinners. But thank God, he that is saved from much loveth much. So this zeal that you see, thank God, with some knowledge and a little bit of wisdom, is real. It's not put on. Genesis 2:18. God is saying, my eyes is going to and fro throughout the earth, and I'm beholding the good as well as the evil. And sometimes we want to deal with deep issues because we don't want to deal with right where we live at. God says, I'm not impressed with your preaching, man, your preaching, woman, your teaching, and all the things that you're doing in service as unto me if you don't know how to treat your wife right. I'm not impressed with your service if you don't know how to treat your husband. I'm not impressed with your service because, see, first of all, he said, I'm going to give you power in Acts. And you're going to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, right where you live at. And so many times we want to go to Africa and all these other places and evangelize, and Jerusalem is just falling apart. I tell women in ministry, I'm not lost. We're going to go to Genesis 2:18, but I don't want to forget this. Women that are in ministry, I get grieved sometimes when they think because God has called them and anointed them that they have their responsibilities as a mother and a wife have been dismissed. I'm grieved with that. I'm grieved with women that feel that they have to compete with men. God didn't call us to compete. He called us to complete, to work together as a team. I don't want to be a man, Pastor. I'm glad to be a woman. I don't want to be a man. I thank God for a woman. And even though I might get up here and roar and you see the boldness, but I know how to come on down and be sweet when I get with Brother Mitchell. Come on now. See, some of us, we get confused, and that's why some of our men are turned off, because we're so hard and the femininity is not there, and we're so busy, ha cha ma sha, and he said, no, fix something to eat, honey. What about a little loving, honey? Or we just going to tell the truth this morning. I'm not going to take you to a zillion scriptures, because I'm going to just talk to your heart, as Catherine Kuhlman used to say, I'm just going to have a little heart-to-heart talk with you. Because I know most of you have done what the book said anyway, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need of not to be ashamed, so you can rightly divide the word of truth. So since you've studied, I don't need to take you through deep study. And when I refer to something, I know certainly you have studied it. Or you can just do like they did in the book of Acts. You can go back and search those things and see whether they be true. But because of time, I have to move on. Genesis 2:18, we're talking about the number one target, the family. And when I go to Genesis 2:18, I'm talking about God's blueprint for marriage. Genesis 2:18. No, this is not, wait a minute. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Loose here. All right. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Thank God for that, huh? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. This is the verse I want you to focus on. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And you know, one thing I've learned about the word, I don't know everything. I don't know every deep truth. I just know a few things, but what I know, I thank God I know. I'd rather know a little bit than to think I know a lot and don't have no revelation at all. But I do know one thing, that when God repeats himself, Because he's so awesome, he don't have to do that. But when he takes time to repeat himself, he's really trying to get a message across. And the verse 24 where it says that you should leave your father and mother and cleave, you can write it down for those that are taking notes. I'm sure you know this, but it's found also in Genesis 2:24. It's found in Matthew 19:5. It's found in Mark 10:7 and 8. And it's also found in Ephesians 5:31. And when I began to look at that, I said, Lord, you said it so many times. You said it in the Old Testament, because some people get ignorant and think you can throw the Old Testament out. You know, we're living under grace now. You hear there are churches that teach that. But the word of God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so God is saying, I want you to leave. Now, the reason why we have so many divorces in Christendom, the reason why there's so much confusion and resentment and bitterness, because we have not followed this vital principle that God has laid down. He didn't say, I want you to think about leaving your mama and your papa. He said, I want you to leave. Now, let me explain that, because some of you might say, well, look, my mother, and I've heard people, my mother one time got a little bit upset because, you know, when you're close to your parents and you have that relationship and you get married, sometimes a little jealousy. Come on now. Can't get in it. She said, well, I was your mother before he was your husband. I said, okay. But our marriages sometimes are not like God wanted them to be because we're not following the blueprint that God said follow. To leave your parents don't mean that you disrespect them, because I can see some of the mothers now, don't mess my son. Oh, women are they get very indignant, I know. My son. And there never seems to be a woman that's quite right for your son. But mothers, I want to share a little revelation with you this morning. Sometimes you didn't do such a good job with some of your sons. And sometimes we like to give some of them back to you. So I don't want you to think that they're just God's gift to us, but we're God's gift to one another. And I stress and I teach this, please hear me. I teach women that we have a very, very high responsibility. Listen to me, because there's certain things that the man imparts to the children, and there's certain things that the mother gives, the tenderness and the caring and various things like that. And if we allow that young man, I have two sons, a lot of us, and I don't want to use this expression, but I have to use it to get the point across, some of us are raising nothing but pimps. It's harsh, but I'm explaining to you what I mean. They know just how to talk the talk. We let them 6 foot laying up in the bed, eating, belching, ain't working. I'm not going to worry about English today. I'm going to get my point across. And all you do is buy them expensive clothes, so you don't know what you're doing. And you don't allow them to get out and to learn some responsibility. And one day some poor woman got to get him. And don't think he's not going to bring that attitude. Men, I'm not being hard on you. I'm going to talk about the women. Don't get upset. But just say amen, because you know I'm telling the truth. But she didn't spoil you. She bought you breakfast in bed. She ironed your clothes a certain way. She did everything for you. So you thought when you married that woman, she was supposed to be like your mama. And a lot of times, mothers will sit back in pride. Well, honey, that's all right. She can't cook. Come over here. I'll make you some homemade biscuits. Come to mama. Now, that sounds funny. Why am I saying that? Because that is a very subtle weapon of the devil. If he can come in and bring division, two visions, and divide, he can come in and ruin the house. And I believe that God is going to start pronouncing judgment. Come on, because we know better. We know better. And one of the things that God taught me as a young woman when I first got married, I messed up at first. When I got mad, I used to talk about my husband like a dog, and so pray for me. I know y'all never did that. But you know what God did? He moved me out of the state from where my mother lived at, and then I tried to call up and them long-distance phone bills came, and I just kind of started talking to God. God says he doesn't like the deception that's throughout the body. You know, we'll talk about them, and then when they do good, we'll say something, and then we'll talk about them. We have to be careful. You should never put your mate down to anybody. And another thing, wisdom will teach you that you need to keep your business in your house. You know, there are churches where they have testimony service. Some of them, I wish they would shut it down. They get up and say, you know, my husband's a whoremonger. He's running and he's drinking, and you get up there and tell all that stuff. When the poor man gets saved, he's embarrassed to come to church. Ask God to give you wisdom when you get up and share things. Some things you need, just need to keep your mouth shut. It's nobody's business. I just felt to say that. To leave your parents mean that your relationship to your parents must drastically change. Is that plain enough? It must drastically change. You must establish an adult relationship with them. You should not be over-dependent upon them for affection, approval, or assistance. Some of us get mad. My mama's always in my business ear. You always asking her for money. You want to be a man, then be a man. Come on now. Let me tell you something. Good marriages don't just happen. You have to work hard at it. All right? You can hikamashaka all you want to, but you got to work at it. And you know what it takes? Two vital ingredients to make it work. First of all, faith. Oh, you need some faith if you're married. Don't look deep. You need it. Lord, you sure this the one? No, let me stop. You need some faith to believe. And love. Not the kind of love, long as you do good for me, I'm going to do good for you. You get on my nerves, that's it. I'm talking about that agape love. That's the kind that God wants in marriages. Much of our happiness that we're going through right now is caused because we fail to adhere to what the Word of God says. We want the blessings, but we don't want to deny ourselves. I want to deal for a few moments with some barriers to the oneness that we have in our homes. I'm just hitting and missing right now. Do you understand? I can't give you a thorough teaching, but I'm dealing with some issues that I think that we need to hear this morning. These are some of the trouble spots in our marriage. And like I said, if it hits you, just look this way and smile. You hear a lot about the word communication nowadays when you hear marriage. Is that not right? And you know what? It's a sad thing because in most of our homes, we don't even give each other the respect and the kindness to sit and to look at one another and talk. I think all of us can identify with that one time or another. My husband loves the news. He watches the news, I mean, every news that comes on and every, you know, because he's in a corporate world, I understand that. And he reads the paper a lot, and I understand that. He's heard me do this teaching, so I'm not saying anything that I haven't said. And because of that, sometime after I've did my thing all day and prepared the home and made it peaceful and nice when he comes home, I want to talk. I want to share my day. I want to hear what happened to you on the job. And sometimes he'll get the newspaper, look at the thing. And one day I just went off, sisters. I did. I was talking to him. He said, yeah, uh-huh, you know. And I grabbed the newspaper. I said, this woman, demon possessed. I grabbed that paper and threw it across the room. I got upset. I know y'all never did that because we got some good godly homes here. I got upset. I said, listen, I want eye contact. I want you to look at me when I'm talking to you. Because see, one thing about you brothers, when y'all get in the mood, you sure know how to give us that attention. Is that plain enough? But see, let me tell you a little secret. You have to love us before you take us to the bedroom. If you really want real love when you get there. As has been said, we need to be loved emotionally. Some of you looking strange, I don't care. It's probably the heat anyway, isn't it, honey? And you know what? For too long as a people, we have made excuses. Well, this is just the way I am. I'm just talking right now, and I got a lot of time. This is just the way I am. You just have to accept me. Well, you better watch that terminology because you might be by yourself one day. And I'm not promoting divorce either. I'm going to tell you something. We need wisdom as married couples. And I'm going to hit on the singles. You ain't going to be left out. We need wisdom, because the same thing that it took to attract that person to you, we need to still have some of that flavor in there as we go along. As women, sometimes we would have it all together when we saw them coming, fixed everything down, any old rag would do. And I'm sharing something with you because I want to see your marriages stay together. And you jump sharp all the time. And now he come home, you got this big raggedy house coat on. Cooking fish all day, smelling, your breath smelling. I don't care whether you like it, I'm gonna tell you the truth, because this is where we live at. And you know what? That poor man and been around good-looking women all day. Sisters, I'm trying to help you. See, some of y'all thought you was deep and you put them out, now you're praying for the church to bring them back. I'm trying to help you. Because if you don't know how to keep what you got, you ought to lose it. I know you don't like that, but it's right. He's around women smelling good all day, looking good, and then he come home and you sit up here with this rag on your head. Come on, it's rough. That's why I said you need faith and love. Whole lot of faith. And you sitting up here looking all... And he thinking, let me go back to work. And some of you wonder why your husbands go golfing in the wintertime. You still ain't caught that. That poor brother know what he coming home to. Let's face it. Men are definitely attracted by what they see. And some of us get so deep, it don't matter. Like singles, you better watch your prayer too. God, it don't matter. Just whatever you want. Stop lying. Because soon as that brother or sister start pursuing you, you say, I know they don't think they mine. See, I try to help the body of Christ get undeep, and then you won't have to worry about getting married and getting divorced. See, I put my order in. See, some of y'all are so deep, you know, God gave us a mind. We can request. I said, Lord, this is what I want. And I began to put my request in when I was, you know, because at first I didn't need no man when I first got saved. Y'all know, y'all been there, come on. I was deep. I thought I was called to be a eunuch. I don't need a man. You know why? Because you're so happy that you got saved and the burden of sin is lifted. And all you and really, if you lived a lifestyle like I did, I know most of y'all was just angels, but I did a little bit of everything, so I felt like I had enough experience. It don't matter if I don't never have a man. But after I came out of revival with the ministers that came through and I got off the mountaintop, I'm like, Lord, where is he? Send me somebody. Lord, I need some. But I know y'all, it don't matter. All you need is Jesus. And in reality, that is all we need, but that's not all we want. Now, I don't want to offend anybody here this morning, because some people certainly do have the gift, but I haven't seen too many with it. I thought I had the gift. And then I realized I didn't have the gift. So don't feel bad if you'd ran your mouth and tried to act deep in front of everybody and told them it was just you and Jesus. Don't feel bad. Just humble yourself and say, no, Lord, I thought I had it, but I ain't got it. Y'all pray for me. I want a man. I'll never forget, I was at a church and his mother came up to me and she said, pray for me. I said, what is it, mother? She was talking real loud. She said, pray for me that I have a companion. I said, excuse me? She said, oh, you want a man? She says, oh my God. You know, and I think she felt, I'm trying to help somebody get set free here, because she was older and had gray hair. Fuchsia said, I'm not dead. Fuchsia Pickett said, I'm not dead because I have gray hair. Let me explain something to you. There is a stereotype in the church to make us think that when people get older, that they just don't have, they just die. But let me give you some revelation here. When I was a teenager, I was like most of you, you know, it was an animal attraction. If you look good, whatever, and you went about doing everything. But as you get older, especially if you're saved, and if you're saved, it's not just an animal attraction or just a physical satisfaction. God begins to teach you what it really means to love. And it goes far beyond just the act of it, but the touching and the intimacy. And so as you get older, I believe, and I can tell some of y'all, you never talk to your kids about sex because your face is twisted now, but that's all right. It's going to be all right. God's going to deliver you. Because certainly we need to talk to our children about that. And we don't teach them the right way. And I tell young people all the time, you don't have lust spirits. I'm tired of the church trying to cast lust demons out of young people. They're going through normal bodily functions that is quite normal because God put it in them to want that. But we're so deep and so self-righteous, we don't tell them that we were 16 and hot at the pants. And we grab that scripture, flee youthful lust. Flee old lust too, honey. It don't have no number on it. No, it don't. We need to teach them that sex is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's marvelous. Look at someone back there grinning. Keep talking, sister. But God has a blueprint. When I do the teenagers, they be happy, yeah, yeah. And then when I get to that part, they're like, oh, boy. And that blueprint is marriage. I'm not lost. I just needed to say that. Sit down and talk with your sons, men, about certain issues like that. Don't, well, son, you see the birds and the bee. Forget the birds and the bee. Talk to your kids. Because your daddy didn't sit down and talk with you. We have to stop making excuses for how we grew up. When you're in Christ Jesus, the Bible says you're a new creation. All things are passed away and all things become new. I'm going to move on quick because I want to give you some things, men, that we as women need from you. And then I'll give some things that men need from us. Is that all right? All right. I mean, things that you don't really hear a whole lot about because we've got to be deep. The barriers, first of all, to oneness. The first thing I was talking about, communication. That's how I went off on that little bunny trail, but I'm sure somebody needed to hear that. We need to learn to talk to each other and not at each other. It's a difference. Some people, you hear them talking to their wife and you think they're talking to the dog or talking to the kids. I recall this man telling his wife, he said, yeah, I love you. She said, well, honey, you don't ever. He said, I come home, don't I? And she said, yeah. He said, I'll feed you, don't I? She said, yeah, but you feed the dog too. Come on. Another barrier that we have in marriage is one of the trouble spots is honesty. You know, we lie so much to each other. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. You know you don't love him. We just say it because we married. That's what we're supposed to say. I'm not telling you to tell him you don't love him. You might have a lot of problems. But, you know, just hope, pray that he don't ask you what kind of love. There's a whole lot of loves. If you can't love him, come on. A lot of us got married sometime, maybe before salvation. And then maybe you got saved and he got saved. And, I mean, it's a hard thing to say that I'm living with somebody that I don't love. But let's be real here this morning. There is a lot of households that people live together and just exist together and there is no love. But I believe if you are Christians that God can begin to put that love within you. I believe that. And one of the things that's lacking out of most Christian marriages that I have noticed, not because I've been in the midst of it, but I believe that God has told me this, is passion. Some of us are so foolish enough to think that passion is sin. Some of us are still wearing them long, old, ruffled, what's that material? Flannel things. And I mean, he can't even see your earlobes, honey. God didn't say put the armor on in the bedroom. My goodness, we need that. We need passion in the marriage. Some of you think it's seductive to wear lace. Guess what? God has given you permission to seduce one man. That's your husband. Because see, when I first got saved, the mothers got a hold of me, and I was wondering why he ain't attracted to me. And then one day I looked in the mirror and I see, well, honey, all this, I mean, wasn't it to be attracted to? And I'm not going to get into specifics. I know it's a Sunday morning and we have visitors here, but you know what? This is the truth anyway. Look nice for your husband. It's not a sin to wear perfume. The Bible says in Colossians 3:9, write it down. Don't lie to one another. The third thing that causes a lot of problems in our marriages is the division of labor in our home. Now, let me say this much. If a woman is home all day, this is me talking, then I believe that when that man comes home, that house should be clean. Some of us, we sit up there watching the stories, ain't cooked no dinner. Do y'all want to hear this stuff or you want me to get deep? I can go into Revelations if you want. The men going to say, go ahead on. Y'all better know when you better know when it's your turn. And they come home, they done worked all day, and you sitting up there, ain't cooked no food. The house is funky, dirty, and nasty. Kids running all over the place. And that's why a lot of men, honestly, and I'm not staying on the sisters. Don't, please, just give me a little time here to present my full case. But that's why a lot of men don't want to come home. God has taught me as a young woman how to set the atmosphere of my home. And because I'm blessed and I don't have to work, I travel in ministry, but I don't have a secular job, I don't have to work. When my husband get home, I don't have people all running throughout my house. I make sure my house is clean. I make sure all the little things that are special to him that I have. I know certain little things he likes to munch on before he, have his dinner. And I know he likes to watch the news. And I make sure the children are out of the way. I make sure the house is clean. I make sure I look presentable. Now, some of you say, I ain't going to go through all that. Well, that's why you ain't got nothing. That's why he don't want to take you nowhere. You just accept this or what? And I don't take no whole lot of phone calls and I'm praying, oh God, and he's just got home. No, honey, my husband just walked in. I need to see what his needs are. So I believe in setting an atmosphere of peace and quiet. And a man don't mind. My husband runs to get people try to get him in. You want something? No, I'm going home. My husband loves it. I mean, he has never in 15, 16, he has never went out with the boys. And that's a testimony, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying if your husband go out with the boys, you ain't doing it right. But my husband has never went out with the boys. He comes home. Because he know when he get there, he got somebody that's going to wrap all kinds of love around him. And that's going to make him feel like a king. And even though I love my pastor that I sit under, I don't treat my pastor better than my husband. And I'm not going to take away your blessings because this is your queen over here. I'm being honest about it. Some of you, let me say this very quickly because I got a lot of ground to cover. If you invite the pastor over, if you do something for him, you pull out your best china. You buy food that you can't afford. Come on now, why are y'all looking at the pastor? Look at me. And then you, I saw your eyes going over there. He knows where I'm coming from. And you do all kinds of little special things to put on a good impression. Well, let me tell you something. One day I was baking cookies. I like to bake homemade cookies. And the pastor made mention from the pulpit. He said, those were some good cookies. I said, yeah, but my husband got some first. I love my pastor. I reverence him. I do things for him. But you know what? My husband, Jesus is the King of Kings, but my husband is the King down here to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? But sometimes we just throw the paper plates down there for our husband. Paper cups, hamburger helper. And then he said, where the food? It's out of store. I'm going to prayer. Some of us need to miss a few meetings. I'm not trying to mess the church up either. So we can get the home right and maybe we can fill the church even more because our husbands won't mind coming with us. Now, sister, that's enough. Get off the sisters, all right. Don't worry, I got some good stuff for the men. Just hang in there. Hallelujah. But if a man and a woman is working, I'm not finished. I'm talking about the division of labor. I'm not lost. Then I certainly believe that there needs to be a responsibility with both. And that woman is working 8 hours just like you working. It ain't about no you laying back and she waiting on you all the time. You need to get up and help out too. And you know what grieves me more than anything? When I see people that have a lot of children or various children and small ones especially. And you see that poor woman on Sunday morning trying to hold all the kids together and he's sitting up there looking pious and she running, grabbing one here. Get off the pulpit. Sit down there and help your wife with them kids. She didn't have them by herself. I know you don't like that, but it's the truth anyway. You know why? Because she's sitting there resentful, bitter, can't enjoy the service. Help out with the children.
Sisters, you better say amen. This is your turn. Better know when to get it in there. We already hit the fourth point that's a problem, a trouble spot, and that was sex, no passion. Some of us go on those long fasts because we don't want to be bothered. Boy, y'all looking strange, but it's all right. I'm glad I'm an evangelist. I can hit and keep on moving. But you know what? You need to study the scriptures. You're supposed to get consent. I'm not asking him nothing. He ain't nothing but a devil. You know one thing the Lord taught me? I'm blessed to be married to a saved man, but if he wasn't saved, I know that the Bible teaches that we're still supposed to respect him. Because the man ain't saved don't mean that you ain't supposed to respect him. And it's your lifestyle and your love, unconditional love, that's going to cause that man to be sanctified by the word of God. And then he will want to come to church. That's why a lot of women in ministry, my husband goes with me quite a bit. He was here the last time I came. That's why a lot of women can't get their husband to go, because they home, they mean as a rattlesnake, and they think they the prophet, prophetisms. Yay, God says, you know. Men don't like that. Women, we can be sweet and soft and still have the anointing. People say, how you get that anointing? I said, by working in Jerusalem. God told me, don't lay hands on my people unless you lay hands on your dishes. That's what he told me. I know that's not for you. The fifth thing, and I'm moving quickly here, is selfishness. You know, a lot of us, especially women, we were taught, come on, that when you get married, he's just going to take care of you, and all you got to do is relax and just give him a little sex. Come on, and he's going to buy you everything. Come on. You know how we have those mindsets. Come on. Y'all getting quiet. I know when I'm hitting the truth. You're like. And that's the way the world thinks. But marriage is a taking and giving. Yes, it is. And some sisters only know how to act nice around payday. God sees that manipulation. I know I'm rough on the sisters, but I got the end is for the brothers. We're going to go out shouting. They're going to go out. I'm trying to get ours out the way now. And I didn't say you. I said us. So much selfishness. All we think about is ourselves. You're not making, and that's why there's a lot of divorce. You ain't making me happy. Let me give you some revelation. I used to be upset. When we first got married in the first few years of our marriage, I'm like, man, did I get the right one? I was mad. You know why? Because I wasn't getting my way. He was the first man that I wasn't ever able to control. And see, women, you might think you want a man, but you better make sure that's what you want, because some of you just want somebody that you can boss around and tell what you want them to do. And you better, God make him a man. You better know what you're praying for. Does that mean you ain't going to be able to get away with your little junk no more? Is that what you really want? Do you want a man? See, it's one difference in being breath and britches is another thing to be a man. It's a difference. Breath and britches, yes. So much selfishness. Moving on. Finances. You know, we thought when we got married, some of you had more before you got married than after you got married. Come on, brothers. You know you promised us the world and didn't get us a pair of pantyhose. Took us to the fine restaurants when we was dating you. Now we can't get to McDonald's. Oh, I'm just getting started on the brothers. Y'all hang in there, sisters. And if that's not you, then praise God. But somebody in here know what I'm talking about. Pride is another thing that causes problems. Let me tell you something. God never sends anyone away empty unless those that come that are full of themselves. Come on. Some of us are so proud, we hate to admit when we make a mistake. Now, men, I got to be honest, y'all kind of got us beat a little bit in that area. Come on. I done been rough on the sisters. You know, women, we tend to say, I'm sorry, easier. I'm sorry. And sometimes y'all rise up in pride and don't even give us that place to repent. Well, you're sorry all the time. I know we don't have nobody like that. You're always saying you're sorry. But you know, there's a scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and it says that we have to forgive one another if we want our Father to forgive us. And when Peter and them were talking about forgiveness, what did he say? How many times should I forgive them? He basically said, look, as many times as they need to be forgiven. And I'm too afraid not to forgive people. You know why? Because with knowing me, I need forgiveness every day. I'm not talking about I practice sin, but because I'm living in this world, Jesus prayed in St. John 17, Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And so because I know that I'm subject to failure, I need all of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness on a day-to-day basis. So if I stiffen myself and I can't forgive my husband or I can't forgive somebody in the body of Christ, then I am putting myself in a very bad position. And I don't want to do that because I'm too intelligent to do that. A lot of you say, this is just the way that I am. Let me tell you something. Change is not your enemy. You must will within yourself to change. I don't care if your father wasn't compassionate or tender toward your mother. That's no excuse for you to be harsh and insensitive and cold toward your wife. Maybe you didn't grow up with a father figure. That's still no excuse, because when you're in Christ, he will teach you how to be as tough as steel, but as gentle as velvet, soft as velvet. He'll teach you. He said, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will direct your path. Brothers, I talked about the sisters when you come home to us and how we don't have it together. Let me tell you something. There is so much pressure on women today to be a certain size, to look a certain way. Tremendous pressure, more so than men. But I don't know whether you notice or not, but as time passes, we all change. And let me tell you some of the changes that you might have gone through. We know, you can tell us, well, you was a size 10 when I married you. We know that, but you also had muscles when I married you. And now they're hanging down here. You also had more hair on your head when I married you. But now it's thinning out. You didn't have a gut. Come on now. You had more teeth in your mouth. So let's not be so hard on the sisters. Come on, sisters, and say amen. That's why you better marry for love. Because after a while, we all change, honey. We can try to paint this house up all we want to, and they can go to the doctor and get it pulled and tightened and stitched, but eventually, it's all going, gravity's going to take its course, and you're going to get old. You can say, I'm 90 years young. You can say that all you want to, baby, but you're getting older. But thanks be to God. He said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So certainly we're to take care of this body, this outward shell, but we ought to remember the real us is on the inside. And the Bible talks about the woman, that which is precious, that meek and humble spirit. Some of us can be attractive, but be ever so ugly, vain. Come on now. There shouldn't be a vain person on the earth. You know why? Because if you think you look good, you look around the corner, somebody else look better than you. See, we let the devil make a fool out of us, thinking we so sharp. But you know, you can be in an accident tomorrow and get your face all messed up. So you better not be vain. You ain't got nothing to be vain about. Let me say this very quickly. There are two types of marriages. I can't go there, but let me give you the scriptures. Ruth, the first chapter, the 6th verse to the 18th verse. And earlier when we were in Genesis, remember I said that you ought to cleave and leave? And see, the only way, excuse me, leave and cleave, the only way you can cleave is you've got to leave. Is that right? You've got to leave in order to cleave. Now, even though this is Mother's Day, I remember years ago when Mother's Day came and I said, honey, you know, I was looking for my little gift. He says, well, you're not my mother. I said, well, I'm the mother of your children. And some of you might have that attitude today, but she's the mother of your children. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something else, too. And this is why there's a lot of resentment among women. Some men will go to the extreme and do anything in the world for their mother, but won't pull out 10 cents for their wife. And then wonder why you got a cold fish on your hands when you want to get romantic. I heard one woman say, well, you're doing all that for your mama. When you get in the mood, just go over there with your mama. I didn't say it. She said it. Think about it. That's real. And that's why a lot of bitterness is in marriages. Yes, it is. Love your mother, but your wife comes first. I'm going to repeat it again. Your wife comes first. And if you don't have your priorities in order and have it in the right way, I can guarantee you are subject to fail. Ruth 1, 6 through 18, you wrote it down. I want to talk about the cleaver type marriage, and I want to talk about the kissers. Most of you know the story because I told you earlier you study. You know about Naomi, her husband Amalek, he died, her sons died. I'm just briefing it down now, how they died, and how Oprah and Ruth, the daughter-in-laws, they was with her. And she said, listen, I'm just paraphrasing, listen, I don't have anything else for you. You might as well just go on back to your home. I appreciate you being with me, but, you know, there's no need for you to be here. You know, they're dead, my husband's dead, God has just, you know, she was just bewildered. But I want to talk about that because we have these two types of marriages within the body. The cleaver marriage, that was Ruth. Even though Naomi said, listen, go ahead on. But she says, no, I'm going to stay with you. Did she say that? So the cleaver marriage, first of all, and I'm using Ruth as the example when she said, read the book and then you'll see, you'll get more revelation. She made time. People that have that cleaver type marriage, they make time for one another. Come on now. People, the second thing that have that cleaver type marriage is that they follow through on the things that they do. You know, some people start things and they follow through on it. Ruth said, I'm going to stay with you to the end. Another thing, cleavers are givers. They're givers. Cleavers are devoted. Ruth was devoted. They're devoted. cleavers are determined to make it work. They're committed. They don't look for every little way out. No fault. Divorce. Don't get upset if you are today, because I don't put bondages on people. You don't know what the circumstances was in which people found themselves divorced. And I don't think we ought to judge that. It's an individual thing. And you know, so many times the church have told people, you know, just stay with him. If he beat you up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, God don't get no glory out of that. The mothers told me years ago, if he hit you, honey, just pray for me. I'm going to pray for him across town somewhere. Forget that. God didn't call me to be no punching bag. Come on now. I can deal with a whole lot of things, but no, you ain't my daddy now. Keep your hands off me. And so y'all can talk about me all you want to. If you ever hear about me being divorced, you know he done tore my head up. And I don't care what they say about me, and I'm going to keep on preaching too. Thank you. That's right. I don't put up with that. The seventh thing, I got to stick with it now. Cleavers, they want to comfort. They want to comfort. Ruth wanted to comfort Naomi. They like to comfort. The next thing is that they're consistent. They're consistent. I'm moving along, so I hope you take shorthand. They're dependable. They're dependable. Lord have mercy. Some of us, we're scared to death on Friday because we don't know whether he's going to bring the money home for groceries and bills or whether he's going to go and do something else with it. And you know, I want to say something, because a lot of times when women work as well as men, they tend to feel that, you know, it's the wife's responsibility. No, it's your responsibility to take care of the family. And you need to sit down and come to an understanding of the things that you and your wife are going to do with the extra funds that she has. I think you need to do that. But certainly it's your responsibility. I know you don't like, well, she making more than me. Some of y'all mad about that? And that causes a lack of passion in marriages and a whole lot of problems. If you got any good intelligence, if your wife is making more than you, you ought to be glad, because what belongs to her belongs to you too. So don't be intimidated by it. Just say, boy, we got a whole lot here, baby. Don't push her out the door because somebody else will be glad to take her in. Cleavers are not sporadic. That means they're not up and down emotionally. You ever see some people, one day they love you to death and the next day look like they can't stand you? They're not sporadic in nature. Now let's go to the kisses real fast. Oprah, she kissed and said, okay, bye. And you got people like that in the body of Christ. When trouble comes, see you, bye. They say, I'll be with you to the end, and then when the end comes, see you. Kissers are temporal, just like some of our relationships. We got married, we was on cloud nine. We thought we was gonna have that Cinderella experience. I tell women when I do single teachings, don't look for the white horse. You're not going to find it. You will sit there and be an old maid if you're waiting on a white horse. And you think he's going to sweep you off your feet and take you to the palace and you're going to live happily ever after. That's not real life, honey. Stop watching them stories. That's why you're all messed up, because he ain't buying you no fur and big diamond. Them actors can't stand each other. They just acting, honey. And then you get mad. Your husband's out there working, trying to make the best living he can. And because he can't provide for you that which you just got sucked into watching the television, then you got an attitude. That's why it's not the stories that take you to hell, but it'll mess your home up if you allow those things to get into you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. All right. The second thing for kissers is they're irresponsible. Another thing, they make excuses. They're sporadic. They're up and down emotionally. They're undependable. Undependable. They're takers. Takers. They're unfaithful. And I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. A whole lot of you was thinking about slipping out there until AIDS came on the scene. Because 5 minutes worth of pleasure ain't worth dying and going to hell for, is it? Boy, y'all getting quiet. They're selfish. They're people of convenience. When things are convenient, they go with that. Well, some of y'all smiling. It's like, Lord, I've been waiting for this a long time. Do you hear that, Johnny? No, let me stop. And they're always, and also kissers, the last thing for kissers is that they're always looking back to see if things would have been better if they had been with someone else. I couldn't phrase it no different than that. I know that's a lot. You know, come on, you done got married, and then all of a sudden you see somebody that you used to go with. Don't act like he was the first one. Women got a way of it. He wasn't the first one. And you wonder, if I had married Jim, you see him, he got a good job. Here your husband sitting back with this undershirt on, holes in it, feet all crusty, belching, and you like, I should have went with him. And the devil will do that to you. Come on. Yes, he will. You think he won't? He'll do that to you. He will have you looking and saying, man, I sure missed it. He'll send them people that you used to know that you thought wasn't going to be nothing. And here they driving nice cars, got plenty of money, and seem to be doing well, and still single for some coincidence. And they see you, girl, you looking good. I ain't seen you in a while. And he's like, Lord have mercy, where you been at? And some of you don't even want to introduce your husbands and wives because you're ashamed of them. Boy, y'all looking strange. All right. Let me tell you something about a good marriage. A good marriage is based on commitment more than feeling or animal attraction. Do you hear me? A good marriage is based more on commitment. Because see, I'm going to tell you something. Every day he's not going to look like that guy that you saw when you first, your heart start fluttering. Some days you're going to look at him, it's going to be like, oh my God, he looked like a monster from the lagoon. Now you know I'm telling you the truth. See, y'all acting quiet and religious, but you know I'm telling you the truth. Someday, especially when the attitude ain't right, even good-looking people can look ugly. You know, you look at him, it's like, oh, God. You look at her, and it's like, man, is that my queen? Woo! And this is why we need to be committed. Didn't I tell you earlier we need, I know it's hot in here, but it ain't hot just because of the heat now. When we start taking the covers off, everybody starts sweating. Come on. This is why you better marry for love. And that don't mean that you always get excited when you see each other. But it's one thing I've learned about keeping the passion in your marriage. When you learn how to be kind one to another, it creates the atmosphere. Yes, it does. Sisters, let me ask you a question. You ever seen a guy that maybe he wasn't that good looking, but he's so sweet until he just starts to look good to you? Come on. Am I getting somebody in trouble? He looked back there and laughed. Now, wait a minute. Am I getting somebody in trouble here? This might not seem very spiritual to the deep ones here today, but it's what you need. It's what you need. Sin destroys marriages. It destroys marriages. And as soon as sin entered into the picture, Adam and Eve began to cover up from God and to cover up from one another. Oh, yes. The transparency was gone. But see, thank God that it didn't end there. The second Adam came. And a lot of people are still teaching under the curse. But the second Adam has come. And he has restored and redeemed all things back. The oneness, he says, you can have it again. And it's only by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit that he can get two individuals who are total opposites, have different ways of doing things and thinking, and he can make you one flesh. But you know what? Because we lost something in the garden, this brings our attention to our need in Jesus Christ. He breaks down the barriers that men create. He can take a sinful nature, and he can cause two people to come together and to cleave, as he said in Genesis 2:18. Oh, Lord, let me help hurry up and finish this. We normally begin most of our marriages with high expectations. You know what we think? We think because we love one another, it's just going to be different from any other marriage. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. It's just going to be different. We just love each other. Well, some of us didn't love past the honeymoon. See, we forgot after the honeymoon we had to live. We had to pay bills. The reality had not yet set in. And then some of you brothers feel like you was deceived, and sisters. Because when you was dating a boy, she looked good, and then when you got married, she took this off, pulled out, took these off. I saw a comedy one time, and it was funny, and he just was so strung out over this woman, and it's like, oh, baby, you're everything to me. Oh. And then they got locked up in this room. It might have been Bill Cosby, one of them. I know y'all just watch Christian television. I like a few laughs sometimes. And they were locked in this closet. And then she said, oh, it's getting hot in here. She started taking stuff off. He said, oh, my baby, what in the world? What happened to the person I came in here with? Now, certainly we need to fix ourselves up, but let's not be too artificial so that they'll know what they're getting. Can I tell you real fast? Five deceptions that we have about marriage. Number one, we think that it will cure loneliness. Now, 12 o'clock is going to take me to an hour. Can I have at least 10 minutes over so I can finish it? Is that all right? 10 minutes, that's all I need. Is that okay, Pastor? Okay, I don't want to go further than that. But we think it will cure loneliness. You know what God said? He told me, he said, the reason you're miserable when I first got married, the first few years, those are the roughest years, they really are. He said, the reason you're miserable is because you don't understand what marriage is. I'm going to help somebody here. And you know what? Some of you might even be thinking about divorce, but if you catch this revelation, it will change your life and your marriage. And through this teaching that I've done over the past 3 years, I would not lie to you. I stand before God. Marriages have been restored by the multitude. I'm not exaggerating. Because if you don't understand something, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Marriage was never created to cure loneliness. God never created, hear me, I don't even want you to shout. I want you to listen to me. God never created marriage to fulfill your total need, because if it was, you would need him. There is a place within every man and every woman that God has put to say that that's my place. I'm a jealous God. No one will occupy that place except me. And because we go into marriage with false concepts about what marriage really is, well, he ain't making me happy. She ain't making me happy. Marriage was never meant to make you happy. See, I thought I was deep until I got married. I thought I was Sister Holy Ghost in the flesh. I prayed all the time. I fasted for long periods of time. I did everything. But see, I didn't have nobody to rub up against me. Steel sharpens steel. I didn't have nobody to test what I thought I had on the inside. And see, people that's walking around single thinking they super deep, you get married and then you'll find out just how deep you really are. Because when you're living with somebody every day, you find out just how sanctified you are. You find out how humble you are. You find out whether you are really where you think you are. But I'm not discouraged, because the word of God says that he which hath begun a good work in you, he shall perform it. He's going to continue that thing. Oh, the devil messed up when he didn't give me too much sleep last night, because I feel good in my sanctified soul right now. And I am sick and tired of him going about seeking whom he may devour. He can only get people that are out of position. See, we've got to walk in the spirit so that we will not fulfill, carry out the lust of the flesh. Let me tell you something, man, and let me tell you something, woman. Because you got married didn't mean that you wasn't going to ever be tempted again. That's the next point. We thought after we got married and we had a bed partner permanently that we would never be tempted. And it's not just a sex thing. Sometimes when you're not getting that emotional attention and you're not getting the things that you need other than the bed, sometimes there's a lack and you're vulnerable, and the devil knows that, and he'll send people your way in the name of the Lord. They don't say no more, you look good, you got a good shape, because we'll say, get out here, lust spirit. But they say, I see the glory of God on you. They'll come talking religious. Come on now. But their motive is the same thing, just to get next to you. So we can't be shallow women. Women are moved by what they hear. I've heard it said many times. We're moved by what we hear. And men are moved by what they see. That's why we ought not to come to church with our bust exposed. I'll never forget, I pray for pastors all the time, and especially their wives. Poor pastor standing up here trying to preach, and he got to look at your 38. No, if you want to show them, honey, show them when you get home. You can take everything off and let them fall all over the place and let your husband see them. But when you come to the house of God, you need to look like a woman of God. This is not the place to seduce. This is the place to worship. This is the place to worship. And I believe God's going to start knocking folk out, coming in here trying to seduce. I think our best gift is the mirror. We can look in the mirror and see when something is not fitting right. Some of us, we proud of them little curves. Come on now. And we want to show every curve. Show it to your man. And if you ain't got one, just hold it, honey, until you get one. I don't want to stop with the sisters. Some of you men come in here, your pants so tight, you don't leave nothing to the imagination. I told you I'm known for saying things that people think about. And then we come in here and try to worship. And this is where the devil fights your mind most of the time. Not when you're home by yourself, but you in here trying to praise and worship God. And she's sitting here going glory. And you like, oh, my God, help me, deliver me from. I mean, come on. It ain't got nothing to do with you being saved. You human. And I'm not a mother of the church, but you know what? I will go up to somebody in a minute and say, sweetheart, I know you don't know this, but you're exposed. And so long we put it on the mothers, but a lot of the mothers act like they scared to say something, so somebody got to cry loud. I tell, and I'll never forget, I was doing a message at Rhema at our church, and I told the ushers, I said, for now on Sunday, since they're not listening to the pastor, they're not listening to me, I says, get a big bucket of pens, and when they walk in the door and if they're hanging out, say, here you go to the bathroom. I said it in a jesting manner, but they got the point. And the brother said, man, you see, the sisters are dressing different now. Boy, she always wore low-cut stuff. She got something up here now. I'm not saying we got to look like old folk. You can look attractive without looking seductive. Ask God to teach you the difference. I know I'm talking right. You know, we come here to worship, not to seduce. A Jezebel spirit is not somebody wearing red. And women, we have the gift of the eye. See, some of you men are still gullible. You haven't got the revelation yet. We can work with you with our eyes. We can look at you and tell you whether we're interested or whether we're not interested. That's why you got to watch how you look at folk. Come on, I'm not trying to get you paranoid and you start going like this. But sometimes people look at you and they say, I'm glad. Now, I'm going to show you the difference. Give me your hand, Pastor. I'll say, I'm so glad to meet you. That's good. That's decent. Or I can say, I'm really glad to meet you. You understand? I just said something. I relate a message to him, all right? And we'll pick up on that later on. People do it all the time in the church. Another thing, as women, because we are built different, we don't need to hug men so tight and so closely. Most of the time, I try to shake brothers' hands, but if I hug them, I make sure I stand back and hug them. When I go into the prisons, I taught for years on how to go in and evangelize in prisons and hospitals and nursing homes. And I tell the women, when you go in there, don't go in there pushing all up against them. Inmates are desperate. They've been behind bars. And you up here, praise the Lord. No, don't do all of that. Use wisdom. And when I go into the prisons, I would never go looking like this. When I go in there, I wear the longest thing I could find. I take these earrings off. I pull my hair back, put it in a bun, look as stiff and as mean as I can. Because I know what world I'm going into. And unfortunately, one day, and I'm going to move on quickly, there was a young lady in Illinois. We was going to the prison, and she was supposed to be going with me, and she came up to my door and almost passed out. She had on a dress that was cut down here, and you could just see everything there. And she said, "She says, you ready?" I said, "Ready for what?" She said, "Well, we're going to..." I said, "No, we ain't going nowhere like that, baby." I said, "You're going to have to go home and change that if you're going with me." And she says, "Well, my husband likes it." And I said, "Well, that's good. I tell you what you do. You go home and change. And then when we come back from the prison, you can just wear that or take everything off. But when you go to the prison with me..." Because, see, I understand that if I am associated with her. You might say, "Well, she shouldn't go." But, you know, God's grace, we're not so deep. We have areas that we need to work on. We're still all under construction, even though we're still being used. The devil will make us think that we have to come to a certain place to be used. God says, "No, all of you. If I was looking for somebody perfect, I wouldn't have nobody to use." So I didn't say, "You can't go because you're just this." I said, "Go change." And she wouldn't change. And we went, and God moved mightily. Paul said, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." I was talking about the deceptions. I'm not lost. I told you the first one is that you think it'll cure loneliness. God never created a man to fulfill your total need. He never created a woman to fulfill your total need. And when you get the revelation of that, you'll never be saying, "You ain't making me happy." You will understand that which you need most is the Spirit. And God, you worship God by your Spirit. And when you go before God and get that need filled, most of the time we're miserable with each other because we have not gone to God to get our daily bread. When we are fulfilled in God, when we have that unbroken fellowship with Him, when we are intimate with God, then we can be content in whatever state we find ourselves in. When people are not connected with God right, they spend a whole lot of money, hit the malls, always want to fellowship, eat, glut, and backbite. You can tell when you ain't walking right. Come on now. It's not going to cure loneliness. It's not going to fill every void. And some people think that the third thing is that they're going to be a better servant. Because you feel like that's the only area the devil fighting me. No, it ain't, honey. When you get married, you're still going to have some problems. It don't make you a better servant. It just means that you're living with somebody. And if you ain't living with the right person and you going one way and they going another way, you're going to really have some problems. And another thing is that I said this already. You will never be tempted again. Yes, you will. You'll be tempted. And not so much as in a sexual way, but you will be tempted. There'll be times you'll look at other people. And see, I'm going to tell you something. I have given my husband permission, not that he needs it, to admire other women. And I'm telling you, women, get the revelation of what I'm saying. because you can turn them off by being so insecure. I give my husband permission to admire. There's a difference. Now, none of us here are retarded. I admire. If I see a good-looking man, I'm going to look at him. But I'm not going to undress him and put him in the bed. God gave us the ability to admire. And so I let him. But I'll never forget when we were in Hawaii. We had a little problem there. I don't know if some of you heard the story, but we were there. And how many of you know what a thong is? You know what a thong is? It's like a little string. They wear them sometime for exercising and stuff. And then they have the thong bathing suit. And because I give my husband so much permission to admire, this was a test for me. I didn't pass it. I want to tell you in advance. I thought I was deep, but I wasn't that deep. And he was there on business in Hawaii. And of course, whenever he goes to Hawaii on business, I go there with him. I kind of choose and pick the places when he go to business that I want to go. And I figure Hawaii is a nice place to go. So we went there for 9 days and we were in Hanana Bay and we were down there. And it amazes me, out of all that beach, this sister's going to come walking. I mean, nothing but beach everywhere. And it wasn't like we was there when you first come down on the entrance. We're all the way over here. And she comes and she walks just like where you're standing, sitting at. And she walks right here and she turns completely around in the back with a thong bathing suit. And my husband's sitting right there. And I'm sitting right where you are. Well, you can imagine that my husband's face turned about 15 colors. And I lost all of the Holy Ghost at that time. I really believe that I backslid for that moment. I did. I backslid. I know I did. Even if she had on a bikini, I could have handled that. But you could actually see everything. And she's standing here like this, talking to somebody, going like this. And my husband's like, I mean, he don't know whether to look right or left. And then I turn around, because I inherited this from my mama. Y'all did too, sisters. The eye. You know the eye. We give it to our kids, and we sure don't know how to give it to our husband. That means we ain't pleased. And I looked at him. The poor man was already messed up. You know, he didn't know how to handle it. And I looked at him, and I said, and then what made it so bad, she turned around and came up in my husband's face and said, and leaned over and said, can you watch this? I said, no, honey, we're getting ready to leave. And my husband looked at me because he knew it was an awkward situation. He said, well, honey, it don't look that good. I said, stop lying. We're getting out of here. Come on. Talking about it didn't look that good. I'm sitting right there with him. See, we can lie all we want to, but the Bible said there's pleasure in sin. There's some things out there that look good. The devil got some good-looking folk out there. But we don't need to be intimidated. We need to learn some creative skills. We creative in the ministry. You better be creative in your home, honey. I'm going to leave that alone. The fifth deception is financial security. Financial security. All right, we're doing good. We're doing good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So you got married and you thought we was going to be financially secure. You thought you was never going to be lonely again. You thought you was never going to be tempted. Well, I'm here to let you know that the Word of God says that our brethren are suffering and going through the same afflictions everywhere. One of the main weapons that the devil uses against every one of us is he will always make us feel isolated, that we're the only one that can't fast, the only one that can't have a prayer life, the only one that can't understand the revelation knowledge of the Word. See, that when he can do that and make you think you're the only one that's suffering in that area, then he can come in and begin to build strongholds. But you need to understand, see, a lot of people put on airs. That's why the Bible says confess your faults one to another. We're so deep and we want to appear to be so deep that we won't tell people, you know, I struggle sometime in this area or I'm having problems with that. And if we would do that more honestly, and we need wisdom because everybody is not mature enough. I always like to give a balance, Pastor. Everybody's not mature enough to hear some of the things that you need to share. So you need to pray, ask God to give you discernment, who you can trust, who you can talk to. But we all need to release that thing. Yes, we ought to go to God. We ought to cast our cares. We ought to let truth come out of the inward part. But then we still need one another down here. Real fast, we're going to talk about the wife's responsibilities, the husband's. And then I'm going to tell you what we want and what you want, and we're done, okay? Real quick. The wife's responsibility is to submit and to be into subjection to her own husband. For years, I resented that scripture. Can I be honest? And some of the sisters have too. Because all you heard when you heard about marriage, submit, submit. And I said, Lord, I hate that. I said, that's all they talking about. And I said, they always say that when they just want us to do what they want them to do. Anybody, y'all going to leave me out here by myself? Are you going to leave me by myself, sisters? I said, I hate that scripture. And God had to begin to work something inside of me. But you know what the final result was? Because if your heart is right, God will help you. Do you hear what I'm saying? If your heart is right, God will help you. My heart was right, but my mind was messed up because I said, I'm tired of this. Every time he want me to do it, submit. I said, I'm sick of that. I wish I could take it out the Bible. But you know what? When God began to teach me and began to show me something, and then the final result was, Olivia, the reason why, please get this on tape, that you're struggling and you're having a hard time with submitting to your husband is because you're not totally submitted to me. See, if we're not totally submitted to God, we can't submit ourselves to that man. I mean, we're going to be hitting and missing. When we feel like it, we're going to do what they tell him when we don't get out my face. Oh, yeah. So, and when we don't submit, we're not so much as disrespecting that man, but we're sinning against God because he commanded it. And the reason why, brothers, women don't like submission because it's been taught wrong all these years. I'm not going to get into submission. First of all, it's not a negative concept. It's a positive concept. And it gives us as women the creative ability to be able to flow as God has created us. The woman in Proverbs, she was submitted. And look at how industrious she was. Look at all the things that she did. See, but when it's taught improperly, that you do whatever I say because I'm the boss, then that's a yoke. Because see, the second Adam came and he restored and he brought us together and we're to go together as team. Amen? I'm not gonna further this because I really need to finish what we need from you. The husband's responsibility is to love your wife, be a provider, be a spiritual leader. You know those things. Holy Spirit has given me wisdom now. Some of the things I can just move along, all right? But I want to close with this. I've skipped some things. I want to close with the things that are important to women. How many of you want to hear that? Things that are important to women and things that are important to men. Because we know our responsibilities, don't we? Clean the house, take care of the husband, do this. The husband's supposed to love the wife. We know those things. And I don't want to be long in saying that. I know it's warm and y'all waiting to get to your Mother's Day dinner and you hoping your gift is home when you get there or whatever. So I'm going to let you out of here in a few minutes. But we certainly need to close with this. First thing that's important to women is a man who can lead spiritually and naturally. Say amen. A man who can lead spiritually and naturally. I hear people say, well, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Well, if you treat me like Abraham treated Sarah, I'll call you Lord too. You understand what I'm saying? People want the respect and all of that, but they don't want to do anything. The second thing that's important to women, and I know a lot of times you think we're just looking at the TV, but I believe that God has put it within us as women, is romance. We like to be romanced, men. Some of us, if we put candlelight by the dinner, you blow. What's that for? The lights go out, baby. Cut the light. What's? Cut the lights on. I've seen it happen. I know. We like romance. We like flowers. And see, men, let me give you a little revelation before you leave here this morning. If you just treat us half right. You ain't got to treat us all the way, just half right. We'll love you. We'll do all kinds of things for you. All right? The third thing that's very important to women is consideration. You know, we done been home all day slaving with the kids, working and making the meal, and you sit down and belch and get up and don't even. Sisters, y'all better holler now, and I know I'm talking right. You done belched and got up and ain't said you like it, and some men will do that to irritate you. Uh-huh. They'll do that to irritate you because they know that you done made a good meal and you smiling and you waiting. You can't have eat looking at him. And he like, say, honey, it's a good meal because see, tomorrow you might not get nothing. You better learn how to be appreciative. The fourth thing that's important to women is understanding. Sometimes men, we are very complicated creatures. We don't always understand ourselves, but be patient with us. You are supposed to be the stronger vessel. Come on. The fifth thing is that's important to women. Am I hitting it right, women? It's appreciation, and not just on Mother's Day either. We like to be appreciated. The sixth thing is gentleness. Some of you got to learn how to be more tender. Come here, baby. I mean, grab you, bruising her arm, just trying to get her in the bed. You know what I mean? Learn to be gentle. Gentle. Some men are so tense. That's why God took you from the dust. You all packed in tight. Intense, but we was formed, you know. All right, That's why we hang loose. Most men have ulcers more so than women because we just let everything out. Honey, I'm upset. You know, we just kind of let it all out, don't we? And men, they hold things in. It don't make you no less than a man if you cry. Jesus wept. That's why some of you all messed up and got all kinds of conditions. Come on, let that thing out. Maybe you, I'm not saying get up in front of the church. Because something about a man when he just whining all the time, he look kind of feminine. You know what I mean? So I think there's a place. You know what I mean? We as sisters can get away with it. We can just cry all the time. That's our nature. We're emotional. And stop putting a rap on us that we're the only ones that's emotional, because you are too. You put some of these men in front of a football and a basketball, go ahead. And you get them in church, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm just not emotional. No, you're emotional about what excites you. Come on now. Moving on quickly. Women like men who remember special occasions. Like today. Women like men who will listen undistracted. I know some of us are, you know, flabbermouths and we just run our mouth, but just at least act like you listen. Even if you're thinking about the game that you want to go to when we shut up, but just go like this and hope we don't have no discernment at the moment. All right. Another thing that's important to women is trust. I'm moving quick now. We like good providers. That's number 10. We like encouragers, men that know how to encourage, not just criticize all the time. We like men who will share the responsibility at home with the children as well. Now, there's so many other things I can say, but I'm going to stop with that and I'm going to move on to the men. Is that all right? And then we're going to close. Thank you, Lord. I said 10 minutes. Okay. Things that's important to men, number one is respect. Now, because I'm saying this, it doesn't mean that it's not important to the woman as well, but I've noticed that in counseling over the years and talking with men and both women, that these are the things that seem to come up more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Respect. And some of us women, we'd have made it by my mind that we're just going to be so disrespectful, and that takes something away from a man. Yes, it does. Come on, man, can you tell the truth? When a woman just get up in your face, well, you ain't telling me what to do. You look at it and it's like, girl, if I wasn't saved, some of y'all do. I'd knock you. Some of y'all do. People talking about they fell down the steps. Saints fight. I'm telling you what I know. They be fighting, knocking each other out. They put Evander Holyfield to shame the way they be swinging in. But men like respect. And a wise woman will respect her husband even if he's a fool. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wisdom. Because, of course, we have the gift to make y'all think it's your thought anyway after we done put it in your mind. I better not say too much about that. All right, the second thing that's important to men is intimacy. Intimacy. The third thing is submission. They want a woman that's going to submit properly. Now, submission don't mean you the boss and you do whatever I say you do. That's not submission. God has a blueprint for it. Study the book of Ephesians, study Genesis. The fourth thing is a peaceful and a clean home. Am I talking to another church now? A peaceful. You notice I put that first. Solomon got a revelation. That's why he got messed up marrying all them women. You think you want all them women until the trouble come. He said, it's better to be on a rooftop somewhere, man, than being there with a woman that's just... Come on now. The fifth thing that a man wants is a good cook. I didn't come here on a Mother's Day for this. Where are you getting it? They want a good cook, sisters. Get the cookbooks out. If you can't do nothing but make hamburger, help her do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Number six, because see, my mother, you know, she wasn't a great cook. I didn't have an example, so I do the best that I can do, but he likes my cooking. Amen? Number six, and I didn't say I couldn't cook, so don't mess with me. Number six, men like women who are content with what they can provide. That brother's, told y'all to be careful about that now. Y'all gonna go home mad at each other. Yeah. He got a job working. Maybe your girlfriend, husband got a job making big money and she's dressed in a certain way and you get mad at him, want him to take a second job because you want to look. That's wrong. God's not.